Don't sweat the technique. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park.
You are out. Hey, we're back from Sam Houston Race Park. You heard what the brilliant pipes of our voiceover guy has told you. We are at Sam Houston Race Park. Jeremy Branham on the road with Cougar Baseball from Cincinnati this weekend. So my man B-Mac has skipped over from behind the window to right next to me as we continue to roll on. And one of our good friends that we love talking to and catching up each and every week is the voice of your Houston Astros on television, TK Todd Callis, brought to you by Texas Star Grill Shops and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. TK, obviously, everybody's first line of concern tonight is Justin Verlander. I'm interested because of all your experience throughout baseball and then knowing JV and all your time with him. He said the two starts in the minors don't matter. He said what matters is he feels good. What are your expectations for JV coming into tonight's ballgame?
Yeah, he got hit around. There's no way around that. By double-A hitters and triple-A hitters in his two starts. So you hope that he was just trying to fill up the zone and not worrying about results. We'll see what happens tonight. The Washington Nationals coming off winning 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, so they feel pretty good about themselves. They had the off day yesterday, too, so they're fully rested. Been a little bit of rain here pregame, but I think we're going to be fine by game time. Just a little light rain going on right now, so the field's covered. But I expect JV to go 80 to 85 pitches. He'll probably go about 5 innings deep. If he's really pitch efficient, he might go 6 innings. They've got to control the running game. The Nationals love to steal bases. And I would anticipate a good start out of Justin. But, yes, the fact that he gave up a bunch of runs in the minor leagues, you never know what that means. You don't want him. You'd rather him come in after a 1 or 2 run game allowed, but that's not the case. So we'll find out tonight. Usually when the bell rings, those guys know how to figure it out. And hopefully that's the case for JV tonight.
Hey, Todd, this is Brian McDonald. Nice to talk to you from this side of the table instead of calling you up on the phone. So, Astros going up against a really good young pitcher tonight. Mackenzie Gore has a sub-3 ERA. But thankfully, on our side of things, you have Jose Altuve, and I can't believe I'm saying this at his age. It started off as a hot take I had on our show a few weeks ago. But maybe having the best season of his career. I mean, he's leading the league in hits. He's on pace. I know it's early in the season, but he's on pace for 40 home runs. It feels like we run out of ways to talk glowingly about Jose Altuve. But what do you think has led to this just absolutely incredible, not even resurgence, because he never fully dropped off, but this explosion in his offensive production this season?
I think part of it is he felt healthy all spring, and obviously that was not the case last year, so he got off to a little bit of a late start last year. I think the fact that Yordan hitting behind him has given him more fastballs that he's been able to see and more pitches in the zone overall. That's definitely helped. And, you know, he hasn't had a chance in the last few years to pick up a 200-hit season just because part of it is he hasn't been healthy. But he's off to a phenomenal start. He's leading all of baseball, tied with Mookie Betts in OPS. He's leading all of baseball in total bases and hits, and he's been amazing. So, yeah. It's been exciting to watch Altuve at the top, and hopefully he can keep it going against Mackenzie Gore, because you mentioned this guy's pretty good. He's a lefty that throws close to 97 on average with his fastball. His velo's up on his fastball almost 2 miles an hour from last year. He's added a changeup this year to go along with a curve and a slider. He'll be really tough on the Astros. He has been tough on the teams he has pitched against this year, but hopefully the Astros can come out here and win some games and get this thing turned around on the road, because it was not as a pretty series against Atlanta for sure.
Todd Callis coming to you thanks to Texas Star Grill Shops and Gulf Coast Chevy in Angleton. And TK, coincidence or not, I look at the lineup tonight, and there is a personal center fielder in Mauricio Dubon. We joked about the fact that could it be, is it not in the past. But now two different managers, consistency with one certain pitcher. When Justin Verlander pitches, it sure does seem like his personal center fielder is Mauricio Dubon.
It seems that way. I was actually looking at the lefty matchup today, and the fact that Dubon has played now in the last 5 starts by left-hander, so there might be a trend there too. But yeah, it seems like whenever Justin Verlander's on the mound, Mauricio's out in center field. That seems to be his personal preference. I mean, you really can't go wrong between Jake or Chaz or Mauricio. They all have relatively the same defensive metrics. Jake's might be just slightly better than those other two, but Mauricio probably has the best arm of the three. So, yeah, Justin likes it when Mauricio's roaming out there in center field, and Dubon's been as good as anybody in terms of hitting with runners in scoring position in baseball. So, yeah, giving him the start tonight, I don't think that's coincidental.
Todd Callis joining us here on the Killer Bees. Todd, obviously a lot of attention has been paid to the back end of the bullpen and some of the struggles had by Ryan Pressly and Hader and Brian Abreu. But one guy that I think a lot of fans were maybe not so happy with last season that certainly pitched well this season, Rafael Montero, 10 appearances already so far to start the season, which I believe leads the league for relievers, and his ERA under 2 at 180. What have you seen from Montero that's had this return to form from the Montero that we saw in 2022?
Yeah, I think I was looking at some of the underlying numbers on the offhand. Nothing really jumped out at me. I think he didn't pitch well last year. There's no way around that in 2023. But some of those numbers that he had last year were inflated based on what they should have been based on metrics. This year he's maybe getting away with a couple more things than he got away with last year. But I think his stuff has been good. His confidence is up, and I think that's a big part of it. I just think he's a guy who last year ran into some bad luck. I was looking under the hood, if you will, trying to find out why he has been better, and nothing really stood out to me. So hopefully he'll be able to keep it going. Hopefully last year was just a one-year aberration. And I think once he gets the ball on the ground, which he's been doing a little bit better this year than he did last year instead of in the air, then that usually bodes well for Montero's success.
TK, I don't know if it's in sickness and in health, but Alex Bregman had a bit of a bug and took a couple of games off, and he comes back, and it seems like maybe he tweaked his swing a little bit. Maybe he's not trying to swing upward as much as the whole kind of hitting approach he had at the start of the year. But he looks like he's really coming into form right when they need him the most. Have you seen a difference or any kind of a change from the start of the season to where Alex Bregman is right now?
I thought I started to see a change when we were in Kansas City. It just seemed like he was putting barrel on the ball a little more consistently, and that swing was staying through the zone longer than it was maybe right before that. I just think with Alex, though, that's one guy that you can go series to series, and it can be completely different. His swing tweaks are unbelievable. He's always adjusting. He's always tinkering. He looked good in that Kansas City series. He looked good coming off the illness. He didn't play against Texas and was fine against Atlanta. So hopefully that'll carry forward in D.C. I really think he was better before the illness, and fortunately getting sick over that weekend didn't take anything away from him.
Todd Callis joining us here on the Killer Bees. Obviously, Todd, the series against Atlanta did not go how Astros fans were hoping, but one silver lining from the series was a big bounce back from Hunter Brown. Maybe a few too many walks in that outing against the Braves on Tuesday, but overall 6 innings pitched, only 2 earned runs against one of the best offenses in baseball. What did you see from Hunter Brown? Obviously, bad start a few weeks ago against Kansas City, but start maybe to round into form with a better start against Atlanta on Tuesday.
To me, it seemed like the start in Kansas City, he was just living on the outer part of the plate, and guys were just teeing off on it, and he didn't really work both sides of the plate. Hunter's got good stuff, but you got to be able to keep hitters honest. And he got in on righties. He got in on Austin Riley a couple times. He was using both sides of the plate. He was using his curveball well. I thought he really pitched well. I thought his sequencing was good. That game in Kansas City, it just kept spiraling on him. It was a snowball rolling downhill, gathering momentum, and he couldn't stop it. And it just got out of control, two-thirds of an inning, and 11 hits and 9 runs. We'll probably never see that again, maybe in the next 20 years. So I thought it was a good bounce back for Hunter. I really thought it was a good bounce back for all three of those guys in the Atlanta series. Unfortunately, the Astros didn't win any of those games, but I thought Spencer Arrigetti made nice strides, and that's going to help him in the future when he'll get another start somewhere down the road for the Astros. And J.P. France bounced back after his real tough outing the time before. So all three guys in that Atlanta series really kind of stepped in into a spot where we thought it could be problematic, and they all pitched well. But I think Hunter in particular, like you said, I think using both sides of the plate really helped him.
TK, I'm curious, just looking at what you mentioned about a Washington team that likes to run, and JV throwing to a younger guy like Yiner, and we know that he loved Maldi a year ago. He's got. We talked earlier in the interview about the personal center fielder possibilities with Dubon. Is there a situation now where, because of Caratini and the fact that he's a veteran and he's hitting the ball well, that you know it's going to be a start-by-start thing with JV, that maybe he's going to prefer the veteran behind the dish, or is it going to be more now that Joe Espada is managing that Yiner's going to be the main guy no matter what?
I think Yiner's going to be the main guy, which means probably getting two-thirds of the starts. And whether he continues to be JV's catcher or whether they mix it up with Caratini, I think a lot will depend on how these first few starts go. I mean, Verlander, like you said, he's a guy that always pitched to Martin Maldonado. He never pitched to Yiner Diaz, even in spring training, because he was shut down. They never really connected other than a few bullpens. So this will be the first time truly in a game for Yiner to catch JV. And that'll be interesting to watch. Same with Fromber when he had to learn to catch Fromber after Maldi was his personal catcher. So to answer your question, I think for the most part you're going to see Yiner get the starts two-thirds of the games this year, but I don't know how that's going to play out with Justin Verlander, whether he wants to stay with Yiner based on how it goes earlier, if he would want to see what the more experienced Caratini has.
Todd, we appreciate you always joining us. Have a great weekend. Get us some wins, and let's get this team righting the ship right now on this part of the schedule.
It would be nice. It'd be nice to get this thing going in the right direction, and the road has usually been good for them in the past, so hopefully it continues.
There you go. He's Todd Kalas, voice of your Houston Astros, brought to you by Texas Star Grill Shops and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. So you've heard a little bit from Todd Kalas. We talked a lot in the first hour about what to expect, what your expectations are, and what, I mean, Desperate Brian over here thinks they have to have a sweep, whereas I've been more
calling for it, Joel.
I've just been more realistic about the fact if they win the series and win two out of three, especially because they are facing a good young left-handed pitcher tonight.
Good. He's really
so
good.
What are your thoughts? 713-780-3776. What do you need to see? Do you have to have a sweep against the Nats, or is two out of three good enough? Obviously, we don't want to see one out of two or losing all three as they did in Kansas City. Much more coming on the Killer Bees. Stay right where you are. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park.
Hey, you heard the man live from Sam Houston Race Park, where they got a big weekend of racing that's getting underway starting tonight, going through the weekend. It's shrp.com for all your information on all the races and all the times and all the good times that can be had out here. Much more there. And we also want to remind you that our annual golf tournament is coming up, or semi-annual, since we seem to do two a year. You can take the day off of work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station. That's us, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As we call it, the Occasional Invitational. It benefits kids' meals, so all the money goes to a great cause. This year's tournament's going to take place Tuesday, May the 7th, 10:30 a.m., Highland Pines Golf Club. It's out a little bit on the north side. It is phenomenal. It's beautiful, and it is brand new. Each golfer receives beverages from Carbach Brewing, lunch and dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now, ESPN975.com. Under the promotion tab, use the code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration for a limited time. So you actually save some money by registering early, play some golf with us, have some fun on your favorite sports radio station, ESPN975. And
I am looking forward to that. Not only because it's actually on my side of the town, so I don't have to drive quite as far. But as you mentioned, we've been out there before to Highland Pines. I guess it's about a year ago
Grand
we were
Open,
out there.
Yeah
and it's a fantastic facility.
It's beautiful.
And not to mention that you mentioned in the read there, food catered by Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. I will absolutely destroy some brisket queso that day.
Valencia's food is phenomenal.
I am definitely ready for that.
And Granado, he I heard him this morning. He's absolutely right. It is so well done in the design of the course. You actually feel like you're in Georgia or somewhere down more like south, where there's the tons of trees.
Yeah.
It's kind of sunken down. All really beautiful. Their clubhouse is now open. Barron does a great job marketing that place. Dennis and his crew that own it. It's phenomenal. So come on out and join us. Have some fun. Check out the great scenes and hang out with us for a day if you can. BMAC, we were talking about a lot of Astros, just got done with TK. Interesting, some of the things that he had to say. I'm curious because we talked early in the show about people that wanted to blame. We got a text now that just said the magic and the mojo was gone the minute that Dusty and Maldi walked out of the door. Like, that's the kind of stuff that just drives me insane. And I meant to get to Todd and we ran short on time, but I think getting back to what you and I said, you take out that Royals series, and I really believe because of the level of competition and how competitive the majority of the games were, I felt like a lot of people would be a lot less panicked. But you have people, and we get them every day, that are texting us and calling us and tweeting us and telling us Espada's got to go. And if it's not just Espada, well, then we know Abreu's got to go. And then, you know, it's the whole conversation of do you continue to have to pay him because of his contract so you keep him, or when do you feel it's time to cut him free? From a listener's perspective, but I'm going to start with you first.
Sure.
Where do you place the blame? Is it on a who, a what, or a both?
Mostly on a who, and it's not on Joe Espada, and I don't even really think about – I don't even really put a lot of the blame on any individual player. Obviously, there are some players not playing well. We mentioned the back end of the bullpen. We were talking to Todd Callis. None of them have pitched particularly well. But to me, the person you put the blame on, the who in this case, is definitely the Astros owner, Jim Crane. Like, I mean – None of what we've seen result in a 6-14 record happens without the direction of Jim Crane. And look, Jim Crane will forever deserve a ton of credit for being at the helm of two World Series championship teams. But what's happened since that second World Series title has really drawn a lot of ire, and I think justifiably so. Running James Click out of town, I know we kind of joke about what he was actually fired. Like, I don't care if technically that's not true, he was fired. They offered him a deal they knew he wouldn't take, and they ran him out of town because they had disagreements on guys like Sterling Marte and probably a few more. I know there was a trade that involved Jose Urquidy that didn't get done. Contreras,
Wilson,
right?
Contreras.
Yeah, from the Cubs at the time. So I put it on Jim Crane. Like he was. Pretty much forced, I would assume, to get rid of Jeff Luhnow. That's understandable. I don't fault him for there. You had to move on from what happened during the sign stealing scandal. But moving on from James Click and then bringing in what we feel is a capable GM, but then taking the words seemingly of Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson Moore, guys who don't know what the majority of analytics stats are, or even if they do know about them, seemingly ignoring them in favor of the back of the baseball card. That's his choice. I mean, he has made the choice to fire a good GM, to basically ignore and neuter another one, and take the advice of people who don't follow the same analytics approach that brought you two World Series titles. So that's all the direction of Jim Crane, and as for much as he's done for the city and for this team, for this specific year, the failures of the 2024 season so far, I think they all have to go on Jim Crane.
So my answer will be, and again, let us know who you think. Who are you blaming? Is it a who? Is it a what? Is it a combination? 713-780-3776. Text us. Call us. Hit us up on Twitch. Hit us up on the YouTube chat. We're trying to figure out just kind of the gist of where you guys are coming from. And from my standpoint, it's a who and a what. Because I agree with what you said about Jim Crane, so I'm not going to double down on that. You said it perfectly. I think, to me, it's a twofold situation. To me, it's a what, first and foremost. It's injuries. Because you knew coming into the season what you knew, which was you're not going to have Garcia till at least midseason. You're probably going to have McCullers after that. So you knew you were down two starting pitchers. But you weren't expecting Verlander, before you even get to camp, to have a setback to where you weren't going to have him until tonight. So you missed the first couple weeks of the season. And then on top of that, you weren't expecting to have Fromberg go down when he was such a vital piece to the front part of your rotation, and because you're already down in numbers, to where when you start talking about a rotation on the IL that's better than most rotations in baseball,
yeah,
that's a major, major problem, no matter what you do offensively, defensively, in the bullpen, or otherwise. So I would start with the fact that the injuries have been literally overwhelming because of what you knew and then what you didn't know and how they all piled up against you. But then if you're going to start doing the who's, to me, it's one hitter and a whole bunch of pitching, right? To me, it's the fact that Abreu is again Abreu, which you expected to see a different guy because of the fact that when he finally went to the IL with the back injury, when he came back late in the season, and I know you were big on the numbers.
Oh, yeah, on pace
which
guy.
Got extremely inflated in the way they looked based on his 162 games schedule average if you got it to that level. But at the same time, we saw the Jose Abreu that's who they wanted to go out and sign. That's the guy that they brought in here, was the guy that we saw late in August, September, and into the playoffs. That's the guy you expected to get at least the majority of for this season. Instead, you get a guy hitting below the Mendoza line. You know, basically, I think someone said the other day, he can't even hit his jersey number for the most part, which is, you know, 79, a higher number, and he can't even hit .79. You look at Abreu, and then you look at just the three guys in the back of the bullpen, and you say, you know, if you guys are doing your job, I believe that this team is much better off and has a much better record. So I agree with you. I think it starts with two things. If I was just to say, aside from what you and I said, I would say it's Crane's decisions and it's injuries. But if you want to get into specific players, you can't help but start with the worst offensive player in your lineup that you're paying $19 million a year to, and then one of Crane's decisions and three guys that are supposed to be dominant that have been anything but that.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you're absolutely right. There's something that you can't escape with the injuries that the Astros have seen with the starting pitchers, and that's certainly playing a large factor in why they struggled and got off to the 6-14 start. But even within that, even with the bad luck and the unpredictable nature of the injuries they've had to the starting pitching, there's still therein lies some blame to pass along to Jim Crane. Even within that, and it's going to seemingly seem like I'm really going after Jim Crane, but I think it's maybe just
it's
a byproduct of a 6-14 start. Look, we're going to have tough conversations and have harsh words when things don't go well. And look, you're right. Like, we didn't know Verlander when spring training started and the pitchers and catchers reported, we didn't know Verlander was hurt, and that certainly threw a monkey wrench into the plans. But we knew, you know, Lance McCullers wasn't going to be back for a while. We knew Luis García wasn't going to be back for a little while. And then we found out with enough time available to still then go make a move, especially for a couple big names like Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, we knew Verlander wasn't going to be available for a while. And we heard the quote from Reggie Jackson last week or the week before about that, you know, just wasn't fiscally responsible to go out and sign Blake Snell. Oh, what was a 2-year deal, Joe?
Well, and if you were worried about giving up any kind of compensation, Montgomery was short of a 2-year deal. As he was looking for a 2-year or less deal, too, and you didn't have to give up any compensation to get him either. Either one of those guys could have done exactly what you needed him to do. And even on the more cheap, the guy that was with the Tigers the Rangers signed.
I was thinking. I thought you were going to say Eduardo Rodriguez, who went to the Diamondbacks. No, you're talking about someone else.
Yeah, he had worked out, and I think the Astros were one of the teams to go look at him. Right after that, he signed with the Rangers, and his first start, he got a win. There were guys out there. If you knew you had to do something, even if it was just a Band-Aid and a stopgap, but you didn't do it. Like Total Arlington says on the Twitch line, he said it's been the pitching period. It's been kind of a trade-off between the starters and the relievers. Who's good when the other's bad, and vice versa. And that's not really wrong, but a lot of the starters, I guess it's one thing to say, look, Hunter Brown and J.P. France had awful starts. Mm-hmm. But then when you factor in the injuries, that's the only reason why you're seeing some of these guys that were brought up that weren't ready to be starting major league pitchers, especially with teams needing really good starts with their arms depleted and the situation with the losses the Astros were in, to where I'm not going to blame the young kids that were brought up. It's more so the fact that you had guys that were really good for you in the case of J.P. France a year ago, or are supposed to be really good for you for the foreseeable future in Hunter Brown, that completely crapped the bed.
Yeah, and from 8632 on the text line, he writes, this is Keith, I blame the schedule, very tough to start the year. I mean, there's certainly an element to that. It feels a little convenient to blame the schedule, though, because the Royals, while they turned out to be a pretty good team, they weren't a playoff team last year.
Right.
The Blue Jays are a good team, but they're not a world beater. And you were in games against the Braves, who are arguably the best team that you play this year. You're in games where you're down, or you're up 4-2 going to the eighth on Wednesday. You're only down, I believe, 2-1 when Hader allowed four runs in either game one or game two of that series. I mean, certainly the schedule has been tough, but if you're thinking of the Astros as a World Series caliber team, other than the Braves, they haven't faced a team that on paper has a ton more talent than them, especially with the question marks for the Rangers starting rotation. And that's one team. You're 4-3 against them, the defending World Series champs.
Yeah, I think that's the silver lining to me is the fact that if you do want to look at the schedule, you can say the Yankees are a playoff team. I think the Blue Jays are a playoff team. I don't know.
Were last year.
I don't think they're a World Series caliber team or not. That can be debated, but I think they're a playoff team. I think that there's a chance the Royals could be a playoff team this year. I think the Guardians and the Royals are going to be at the top of that division. I think it's going to be
certainly ain't going to be the White Sox.
No, those are two good baseball teams. But then you know the Rangers are the reigning World Series champs. They're the main competition in the division as well. And I think that you played well against all those teams to where you can say, hey, look, there is something to be said. There's an element, but I can't blame the schedule as much as you can see where the guys have completely threw up all over themselves, that especially with the money they're making and the back of their baseball card, you're supposed to be expecting a whole hell of a lot more.
Yeah, and maybe if they played competitive baseball, because you're right, for almost the entirety of the schedule, even in the games that they lose, they've been at least competitive. But the problem with that and why it's tougher for me to make the schedule excuse is because they weren't competitive against the Royals. I mean, they did lose the first game in extra innings when Wander Soro, and I believe his only inning this year for the big league club, gave up the game on a Salvador Perez walk-off hit. But then in the next two games, you lose 11-2 and 13-3. It's hard to make the schedule argument when you lose the second and third games of those series by a combined score of 24-5.
See, B-Mac, I think on the flip side, that's why I keep pointing to that series. If you take out the lack of production that you're talking about offensively in the Royals series, it's hard to blame the offense. Because if you take out that series, the offense against good teams has been better than average, been good enough, and one of the top in the American League to where you say, that's why for the texter that can't stop texting us about how wrong we were about the offense has not been the issue. It has been the other things that we've talked about that just are rearing their head on a nightly basis, like TD said about the pitching, about the fact that the back of the bullpen sucks, the starting pitching hasn't been great. That's where, and the middle relief, which we knew was going to be a problem, hasn't been, aside from Montero, anything to speak of, and a little of Seth Martinez. So I think that there's enough fingers to point at and enough people to blame, but I also think there's still reason for a silver lining to believe they can still turn this thing around. That's why I've been so optimistic.
If, Joel, I'm going to go back to it again, if they sweep the Nationals this weekend.
2 out of 3, and they're fine.
All right, you want to get to Who Said It?
Are we playing Who Said It? All right,
yeah,
all right, we're going to play Who Said It next. All right, that's coming up next. Don't go away. We're midway through the show. That means 90 minutes in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show comes up next on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Before we go to the break, a word from my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business. I was running some errands this morning and didn't have a hat on and saw my friends at the Starbucks, and they're like, whoa, Joel, we always see you with a hat on. When we didn't, where'd all that hair come from? And I said, my good friend Doc Linville. I mean, I knew that I needed hair because of the fact that my hairline had gone from a 4-head to an 8-head. I didn't think there was anything I could do about it. And then lo and behold, Doc Linville said he wanted to have a conversation with me, explain the NeoGraft procedure. Once he did, it was a no-brainer for me that I was going to get that procedure done, because it's simply put, getting your own hair back where you need it most, and it ain't going anywhere for the rest of your life. Check him out right now at 975hair.com, because you can get a free consultation like I had with Doc and his staff that normally costs $150 just by listening to us and going to 975hair.com. Get all the information. Ask the questions. Get the answers. Let them explain it all to you like they did to me. And I'm telling you, you're going to be as convinced as I am that the NeoGraft works and it can be a game changer. It's not all the gimmicky stuff that just masks the problem, like the sprays and the foams and the creams. This is a real life changer because it's your own hair. Doc told me himself, 95 to 99% of the follicles that he's going to move are going to stay and grow and be with you for the rest of your life, because they come from a place that they never are going away. He also explained to me, genetically, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. I did not know that. When I found that out and then found out that he takes the hair from there to get it where you need it, it all started making sense. I did the procedure. It was painless. I loved the results right off the jump because I could see the follicles in place. 6 to 9 months later, when they got stronger and longer, the results just knocked me off my feet. Phenomenal. You get yourself confidence back because you love the way your hair looks again. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Check out 975hair.com.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
All right, you heard the man. It's time for what used to be one of my favorite games.
You won last week. What are you talking about?
I've been good. I won without Jeremy. I won with Jeremy.
Jeremy has been an anchor around your neck, and I actually have some good news for you, Joel.
Okay.
You don't know this, but I have a surprise for you. I don't know if you saw the tweet from the station account.
I did not.
I have a surprise partner for you today. Look, I didn't want you to have it going solo. Jeremy actually has been an anchor around your neck, so maybe we do this more often. But joining us right now on the HR&P listener line, someone you might know, someone who left the show to move out to Chicago.
I don't need help.
Brendan Riley joining the show.
Oh, no.
Killer Bees. Brendan, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for inviting me for this. I don't know if I'm good news. I live 1,000 miles away. I haven't worked at the station in a year. I'm going to be a terrible teammate, but I'm excited to do my best.
Yeah, I think, Joel, you obviously have the final call on this, because as Brendan mentioned, you've got some help today.
As Brendan knows, I've always been the super team player that goes with whatever flow that you guys want to throw my way and hinder my performances. I'm ready to do this again.
I don't know if you caught this.
I haven't caught up to Brendan since and congratulated him with his beloved Lions for all the success that they had.
We also got to congratulate him on Oakland getting a tournament win. That was big time, too.
With a Milwaukee kid right in the middle of it. I loved it.
Yeah, it's been a good year for me in sports, no question.
Well, good to have you back on the show, Brendan. So you will be assisting Blankers here to help him defeat me in Who Said It. Are you ready for quote number one?
Yes.
I'm as ready as I can be.
I'm a little worried because as soon as we went to you on the line, I heard a police siren in the background. So I'm not sure what Brendan's got going
probably
on
riding
right now.
The loop.
but we'll hopefully he'll be able to help you out here, Blankers. All right, quote number one. Boban's been in movies. He's in multiple commercials. What does Shailene Green have? Fingernail polish. What does Alperin have? Nothing.
I'll go first, Brendan, and then see what you think of this. But I think
defer to me. I would love to hear your thought process here, Joel.
Yeah, I'm going
to
give you my first initials and then see if, like I'm saying, see if you're on board with it. I know that the morning show and John and Lance have been crushing Jalen for a long time for the most part. I know that I heard something like this, I think, one morning, but I could see this being a conversation between John and Lance where, you know, John, old school, very straight-laced, is very anti-nail polish. And
the nail polish is what jumped out to me, too.
Yeah. Paulie's fine with it. I don't think Joe's probably going to have a problem with it. I think it's definitely, and I don't think Dell's going to have a problem with it. I think, if it's anything, it's going to be on the bench. And I think that to pinpoint which one is going to be where we have the challenge, because I think it's definitely the bench. So can we get it?
Are you dead set on the morning show? Because my instant reaction was the morning show as well.
Yes.
And then a small part of me goes, Paul will play devil's advocate to himself sometimes. So I did wonder just a little bit.
Yeah, I think.
I was going morning show initially too. So if you feel good there, I'm fine going there.
One more time, B-Mac.
Sure. Boban's been in movies. He's in multiple commercials. What does Jalen Green have? Fingernail polish. What does Alperin have? Nothing.
And this is just one guy saying all
one
of
guy.
It.
One guy. Yeah, one
okay,
guy.
Okay, because I thought it was a back and forth.
No. Well, this is one.
You make a good point, Brendan. I mean, I could see Paul saying it too, trying to hear it that way. But I'm going to say my personal gut feeling is John Granato.
That was my gut feeling too, so I say we stick with him.
Let's go. Final answer, John Granato.
Boban's been in movies. He's in multiple commercials. What is Jalen Green?
Oh, you were right there.
Right show, wrong guy.
What is out?
Yeah, you were right there. You were right on the process was good. You eliminated guys who wouldn't care about.
I'm good at the 50-50, just not pegging
polish.
It all the time.
Yeah, you were phrasing. Number two, Joey was your first. Oh, sorry, let me start that one over. Joey was your first sign he's Italian. The O at the end of his name. But that could be a Latin American. But then Loperfido. And then you look at him, and you see where he's from Pennsylvania. He's bona fide Italian. Oh, look, he's got gravy on his shirt here. It looks like, maybe that's actually just clay.
Okay.
Right, these are a lot longer than when I used to do them.
Yeah. B-Mac really takes this seriously. B-Mac
digs. Too much info for me on this one. Where are you leaning?
Well, I don't think that Granato's ever going to question an Italian. I mean, at first I thought Granato, but then, I mean, he's going to know by the name alone that he doesn't have to question his Italian heritage. I could see Paulie doing the Joey Loperfido and getting the voice and doing all that he does. I don't think Joe would say this. I don't know if Dell would say this.
Do you need it one more time?
So I'm going to struggle the most with Dell because he wasn't on when I was there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to be able to help there. My initial lean was morning show and it was John, but what you said makes sense. He's going to know, right? I did wonder Joe a little bit. It feels like something Joe would say. Look, if BMAC doesn't have any Paul Gallant on this, me and BMAC are going to have a problem.
That's a very good point. I've taken the posters made their way to Illinois with you.
Of course.
The Paul posters.
I would be between Paul Joe posters. And Paul here after listening to your thought process.
All right, one more time,
you need it one more time? Yep. All right. Joey was your first sign. He's Italian. The O at the end of his name. But that could be Latin American. But then, Lo Perfido. And then you look at him, and you see where he's from Pennsylvania, and he's bona fide Italian. Look, he's got gravy on his shirt here, it looks like. Or maybe that's just clay.
So first and foremost, anybody that says Joey is the first sign he's Italian, I don't know how in the hell you get that logic. But that sounds like the illogical Joe George to me. But does that change your opinion hearing it again? Which one do you think it is?
If we're gonna stick with that show, let's rely on Paul here.
Okay.
You co-signing? Final call.
God, I thought it was Joe, but Paulie says some really ridiculous things. We'll go, Paul.
Joey was your first sign. He's Italian.
Oh
the O
God.
At the end
you
of
went
his
Lance
name.
Back to back. You are so filthy. That is so dirty.
Oh, that goes back to
all right.
A
we got to make a comeback here.
Brendan had a long time ago about wanting to go with all one people, but I promise you it's not all Lance. I will give you that clue. All right, clip number three or quote number three. Okay, like I'm not ashamed of this. I like tofu. I actually do. I think it's good. But the amount of work you have to put into making tofu taste good is probably not worth it.
Wow, that's to me. That sounds like it could be Dell or Joe.
Well, I think the important thing here, at least for me, is it's somebody who cares about making tofu taste good. How many people on the lineup are eating tofu?
Well, I mean, not.
And how many people on the lineup are making it? By the way, not just eating it, making it.
But. I think you can make it taste good, but you can still get it from a restaurant. Because I think Dell eats a lot of – he orders out a lot of Chinese food.
But the complaint is how much work it is, right? It's not a lot of work to get it from a restaurant.
Yeah, but I heard that as you can order from a restaurant, but then you got to put a bunch of sauce and stuff on it.
You need it again?
Yeah, give me one more time.
All right. Okay. Like,
where are you leaning?
Well, we're going to give the quote one more time here, Brendan. Okay, like – I'm not ashamed of this. I like tofu. I actually do. I think it's good. But the amount of work you have to put in to make tofu taste good is probably not worth it.
I hear Dell. I hear Dell because the cadence early with the like in it, kind of, it's either Dell or Joe to me.
I was going Dell or Paul. I told you Dell's where I'm going to struggle. If you're feeling Dell, let's go with it.
You said Dell or Joe. What do you got?
The like is where the cadence up with the like is where I heard Dell or Joe.
But I said we go Dell.
I don't know, Brendan. I think that Joe uses like a lot.
Do you think? I'm going to be surprised. We have a different line of thinking on how we're getting to this one.
Joe's trying to work out, by the way. He's got a gym sponsor
that
now.
That is
so
true.
He's trying to become a leaner, meaner version of Joe.
You can work out all you want. You can eat healthy all you want. I'm skeptical that Joe is making tofu. And I think whoever said this is making tofu.
All right. I'm going to go Dell.
Okay. Like, I'm not ashamed of this.
Oh, my God. I'm going to bang my head on
think
the
it's good.
I had it. God. But... The like is what I...
You were so dead on with the like. That is exactly how Joe talks. The like. That is a dead giveaway. Oh, I feel for you. I feel for you, Blankers. That's a rough one. You were right there again, 50-50. All right.
I told you I was going to be a bad teammate.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. That's the positive in all this. Okay, BMAC, let's finish
All right,
this.
We got two more to go. Quote number four. New Orleans isn't a healthy lifestyle. There's nothing about the city that's healthy lifestyle. The people, like, nothing about New Orleans is healthy lifestyle. It's drink and food and fun, and that's what it is. And there's the sirens again.
Yeah. Not Are you on the L?
Am I on the L? I'm walking around downtown.
Okay. You got any take on this one?
This one, so far, of what we've gotten feels like the least contact. Like, I don't even know where to begin with this one.
I agree. I don't think that there's cadence. I don't think that there's any kind of, you know, any in the lingo that says, oh, that sounds like, there's no, like, crazy or Paulie.
Read it again?
Yeah.
And even, there's not even, like, an opinion here to work with, really. Nobody thinks New Orleans is a lifestyle.
This is how dirty BMAC is.
All right, quote one more time. New Orleans isn't a healthy lifestyle. There's nothing about the city that's healthy lifestyle. The people, like, nothing about New Orleans is healthy lifestyle. It's drink and food and fun, and that's what it is.
I think it's John or... John's got Louisiana
I could see
roots.
That. It's a conversation I could see them having. Yeah, as somebody who's cut these clips before, yeah. It is a conversation I could absolutely see them having.
Well, John's wife's from Louisiana. John spent some time in Louisiana.
When he was John Grant.
I think it's John or Dell. We've lost, oh, man, so it doesn't matter.
I don't have a strong opinion here. If I had to go between those two, I'm probably going John. But like I said, yeah. I don't think we got a lot of context in this one. It just feels like a conversation the morning show
it's
would
It's a coin flip. Since we lost and I don't care, we'll go John.
New Orleans isn't a healthy lifestyle. There's nothing about the city that's healthy lifestyle.
Really not.
The people, like,
so we had the conversation in the show again. This is fantastic for me. My weekend sucks, and we've been close on three of them.
Oh, you've been very close on three of them. Yeah, the only one where you weren't really on was the Lo Perfido one.
Yeah.
If this one is to fall the lot, BMAC, I'm going to be very offended that you invited
that's
me.
That's true.
Well, hopefully this isn't the last time we can have Brendan Riley on. We'll find out if he's going to boycott us if this is not Paul Gallant. All right, last quote. These grifters, these absolute grifters, how is there a market for these people? They're so dull. In context, they're talking about the Harry and Meghan Markle.
I think it's Paul.
Well, and there's two reasons I think it's Paul. One, I'm going to go with the conversation type again. Very Paul. Two, I think BMAC accidentally gave us a clue. Because he got worked up while giving us this quote. And we both know if someone's going to get worked up talking about this, it's Paul.
Yes, and then the third thing that would be one where I just throw it out for discussion is who uses the term grifter? I think Paul would use the term.
I think John, it's probably Lance the most likely. I didn't pick up on that one, but I think it's a good one.
I'm going to say Paul.
I'm with it, too.
Yeah, final
These
episode.
Grifters. These absolute
Thank God, I didn't
grifters.
Get skunked.
How is there a market for these people?
Well, one, I'm happy that I didn't disappoint.
Plus,
Brendan,
you can't do that to Brendan Riley without putting a Paul quote.
I'm happy that I didn't disappoint him so thoroughly by not having Paul included in his return to the show. But he was absolutely totally correct in one thing he picked up on, in which how I got excited doing the Paul Gallant. Because you can't do Paul Gallant takes without raising your voice and getting excited.
Yeah, you can't do any take without him going like octaves.
Real quickly, I have to ask, was that intentionally last because it was me?
No, I didn't even think about that aspect of it. But it was funny timing for the coincidence and how it worked out.
Fair enough.
Wait. Hey, buddy, have a great weekend. Great to catch up with you. And I miss our morning teleconferences.
I miss you guys, too. Thank you so much for having me on for this. It was a good time.
All right, don't get arrested. We've heard too many police sirens in the background. Thanks for joining us, Brendan.
There you go. Right, Brendan Riley, former member of the Killer Bees, now killing it in Chicago, Illinois, on the home of the White Sox, who aren't killing it playing baseball.
Even though you lost, I mean, that made it worth it, right? You got
fun.
To reconnect with
yeah,
Brendan.
It was fun. Yeah, definitely.
The things I do for you, Joel.
Don't let me start comparing producers after that. After what you did to me there. All right, we're going to continue to Keep roll on.
Cut me, Joe, and Brendan.
We got to go to the break. I'm not answering that for the grounds of incrimination. We've got plenty more to get to. We get a little Texans talk in here. We just saw some Vegas odds that might raise some eyebrows on the favorite for MVP in the NFL. It was Patrick Mahomes. You may be pleasantly surprised at who it is now. Much more coming up on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park.
Hey, you heard the man from Sam Houston Race Park. It's Brian McDonald and Joel Blank. It's Jeremy Branham has the day off, but the Killer Bees are alive and well and stinking.
Can I read the text from, for you? Can I read a text for you, Joel
stinging.
Blank?
Yeah.
All right, so from 5798, LMAO, you brought Brendan back to let Joel down one last time.
It's not wrong. Not wrong. The one thing that BMAC does have in common with Brendan Riley and Joe George is that they're big fans of siding with Jeremy on everything.
He's not even here.
Not today. I mean, it's the only chance I got. Want to remind everybody, Sam Houston Race Park, shrp.com. Lots of stuff going on. Big weekend this weekend. Lots of stuff going on with racing tonight and drink specials. Friday night drink special, 6 to 9 p.m., $4 24-ounce Big Beer Friday, $2 187-milliliter wines. And then, of course, tomorrow night is the 30th anniversary party. Center Club level cupcakes, glasses, and hat giveaways. Shannon Jewelers with the big one, the Diamond Dig, after the fourth and sixth races. They're going to give away $23,000 in jewelry. 10 guests are going to win a piece of jewelry. It's going to be hidden, I believe, she said, somewhere out on
the
track.
It's in the dirt. Yeah, they're going to have to dig for it.
Going to be a lot of fun, but you can't miss that because you can't miss all the action. You can get it on your bet on the ponies. We'd be remiss. I was just talking to one of the bartenders here. Shout out because of the RIP to our good friend Fred Fowler, who was a legend here out at the racetrack. But shrp.com, check out the weekend and then all the festivities all through the spring and summer months.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I'd like to mention one more event because it has my name all over. April 27th, the tequila and taco tasting. Yes. I mean, you had me right there. But $20 is good for 5 tequila tastings. Another $10 is good for 3 tacos. Order a handcrafted margarita, tequila sunrise, shout out to the Astros, or ranch water made with their tequila of choice and have it straight or on the rocks. That'll be from 6:30 to 9:30 on the club level on April 27th. So another great thing to check out here at Sam Houston Race Park. You mentioned the Texans as we went to break there, but we were a little bit over in our fun with Brendan Riley. If we want to catch up on a break, you want to hit the Texans on the other side?
Yeah, we're going to talk Texans on the next on the other side. Very interesting information. I got an email from Vegas this afternoon. Patrick Mahomes, 8.5 months ago, was the hands-on favorite to win another Most Valuable Player award. He's now second. And someone that you know and love may be the guy that has unseated him as the favorite for Most Valuable Player in the NFL. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more as we get into some Texans talk right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.